Could you talk about downtown Tulsa, some of the stores you remember, maybe in the 50s, blacks in Tulsa, separate restrooms, drinking fountains? Does any of that spark
some? Oh, sure. And TU is very proud of its record on integrating. And we didn't have any trouble with drinking fountains and that sort. We were as white as you could be until the government said it was wrong to be different. We were obeying the Oklahoma law that set us up. And although Indians were permissible, the charter we had, that was the state charter, said that Negroes were not. So we were law-abiding citizens. And then the federal government said to everybody, you may be law-abiding, but you're not obeying the laws that have recently been passed. The United States says you must admit black people as well as white people. And so we had a problem. The state of Oklahoma did not agree with the federal government, and we did. And being a pioneer is a very difficult and interesting experience, and our experience, I think, is worth my telling you. We had set up a school after the war, a school for black people in the black community, the Booker T. Washington High School, at night ran courses for black students so that they could make up work that they would have had they been in Tulsa. And we were not proud of it, but we had a separate University of Tulsa. And that branch offered a multitude of courses and offered 1 year a course in sociology, and it didn't have enough students in it to make it pay off, and therefore it could not continue. You had to have at least six people in a class for it to break even, and the university treasurer saw to it that nobody was teaching a class with five people in it. You lost money, couldn't lose money. So here was this class losing money. And the teacher, quite innocently, said to the class, you know, this is really very strange. I'm offering the same class on the north side, but I'm going to have to quit it because there are not enough blacks in it for it to make. If they could come to this class, I'd just teach one class. And one of the people in the class whose name I never got, which breaks my heart, some young man in the class, because it was an enormous class, said, well, why can't they join us? And the faculty member said, it could cause a riot because it's against the law of the state of Oklahoma. He said, I'm perfectly willing that they join us, but somebody here might object to it. And if I were to take a vote, I'm sure somebody here would not be very happy. So he said, but I'll be glad to take a vote and see what happens, because I think I can have the blacks from the north side join us here. But I don't want any one of you to not want it to happen. You're obeying the law if you vote against it. We'll take a vote. Just raise your hands if you're for it. He said, that's great. It looks as if everyone but one held up his hand. So we'll continue as we were going. And he said to the young man, it's surprising that you were talking about what to do, and you're the one who did not hold up his hand. And he said, I didn't hold up my hand because what you do, what we'd all do, is we all act as if it were something strange. And she is a person just like you and me. Now, evidently, they had settled that what was on the north campus, and there was a woman on the north in the class. This is why he was saying, she is as good as you and me. Because I remember his speech so well that I have to explain how he was able to say she. He said, she is just as good as we are. And she deserves an education just as much as we do. And she probably is just as sweet as all the women in this class are. But she's getting a half-baked education over there, because don't tell me that Mr. Wagner, our teacher, does as good a job the second time around to three or four people as he does to us the first time around with 50 people. And I don't want to see her embarrassed or treated like that. and other schools are segregating them, putting them in different parts of the room, and I don't want to ever come to this class and be in a different part of the room. We are really caught on the horns of a dilemma. If we greet her, we're making her special. And yet, how is she going to know that we just sit where we want to? What can we do? And the teacher said, I'll guarantee you, she'll come to this class if this class votes 100%. And they did, and she came and graduated. And then, from then on, when the matter came up, why, we would say, why do we have black students attending the university? There's so-and-so and so-and-so. And Ebony, the magazine, called me and said, I hear you've got, that was the editor, I hear you've got black students going to the University of Tulsa. And I said, why, of course. He said, what do you mean then, why, of course? I said, well, we have black students going to the university. And you are the editor of a black magazine, and you're calling me because you think that's unusual. And it is unusual. Now, what's the story you want to get? I said, I know you'd like to play it up, and then you'd wreck it. Leave us alone. Let us make our own successful movements. We don't want you to come along and get a lot of publicity, have a headline, and have maybe a front page. But I'm glad to talk to you, because what you do eventually will be important. But don't do it till I tell you it really is. And he said, well, do you sound like you know what you're doing? And I said, yes. What we're doing is the University of Tulsa is desegregated. The black man has to integrate it.